Good. Okay, we got the thumbs up over there. It's always a good signal. Okay, so now that we are in the Christmas season, I would like to speak about a biblical event which is well known to us. It is the visit of the wise men. There is a saying that you may hear at Christmas time. It's up on the screens over here. Wise men still seek him. It's becoming very prominent in our Christmas decoration or sayings. Are we wise enough to seek the Lord or to seek more of him in our lives? When the Lord views our desires on what we are seeking in life, can he consider us wise? Can he say that we are making wise choices in life? Godly wisdom in choosing our priorities in life, when the Lord looks down at us, can he see that we are using godly wisdom in choosing our priorities in life? Wisdom in what or whom we are seeking in life? This morning I would like to talk about the wise men and then speak about certain people in the Bible who were hungry for the Lord and sought him, and what it means to really seek the Lord. So we're going to turn to Matthew chapter 2, and we'll be reading verses 1 to 12. Matthew chapter 2, and verses 1 to 12. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, Magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Gathering together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for this is what has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, land of Judah, are by no means least among the leaders of Judah, for out of you shall come forth a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.' Then Herod secretly called the Magi," or we know them as wise men, "and determined from them the exact time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, report to me, so that I too may come and worship him.' After hearing the king, they went their way, and the star which they had seen in the east went on before them, until it came and stood over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceeding with great joy. After coming into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell to the ground and worshiped him. Then opening their treasures, they presented to him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned by God in a dream not to return to Herod, the Magi, or the wise men, left for their own country by another way." So the wise men may have come from Persia, that was composed of what is currently Iran and Iraq. It was Persia till about 1920 or so, and then it split to Iran and Iraq. These wise men traveled many miles to see Jesus. Look on the map, coming from that Iran-Iraq area over to Israel, over to Bethlehem. It's quite a hike. And in their travels, these men were seeking Jesus. What effort do we put into seeking Jesus into our lives? We get the idea of three wise men from the number of gifts that were given, but there could have been more than three. They have been studying the prophecies about the coming of the Messiah. Now, why do I say like more than three? Because it wasn't safe to travel with only three people at distance. There were bandits on the road. You could have been robbed, attacked, murdered. So there's probably more than three. The idea of three comes from they presented three gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. But there were probably more than three wise men. And they had been studying the prophecies about the coming Messiah. They were not part of the manger scene, as is commonly thought. Jesus was believed to be between 1 and 2 years old when the wise men arrived. These wise men, with deep reverence, prostrated themselves and worshiped Jesus. What a picture. They come from a foreign pagan land and they worship Jesus. How much more those of us who know the Lord should be worshiping Him with all our hearts and souls and minds. We know the gifts that they brought were gold and frankincense and myrrh. What did these gifts symbolize? Gold symbolized royalty, kingship. Frankincense is a substance derived from the resin of a boswellia tree which grows in Saudi Arabia. When this extract is warmed and burned, it produces a sweet, pleasant fragrance. That's the way our praise should be to Jesus. In the Old Testament times, the priest would burn a mixture of flour, oil, and frankincense on the altar. Frankincense symbolizes praise and adoration. We want to bring our frankincense, our praise to Jesus. Certainly, Jesus is worthy of all our praise and adoration. Myrrh. Myrrh is used in embalming. It symbolizes suffering and the crucifixion of Jesus. So these are the gifts that were brought to Jesus by the wise men. Now how about those who were hungry for the Lord? In both the Old and New Testament, we find there are examples of people who were hungry for the Lord and making the wise choice to seek Him or more of Him in their lives. How about Psalm 42, verses 1 and 2, David speaking, "As the hart or as the deer pants and longs for the water brooks, so I pant and long for you, O God. My inner self thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and behold the face of God?" Now, as we've said in the past, by using the term pant, David was showing that he had a serious hunger for the Lord. When you pant, like when you're running, you're taking in life-sustaining oxygen more rapidly, because when you're running, your muscles need more oxygen quickly, so you're going to pant. It's a natural reaction that God gave us. Spiritually speaking, we should be panting for the living breath of life that only God could give. There's a song, a chorus that we often sing. We are hungry, and it states, "Lord, I want more of you." How serious we should take this. "Living water rain down on me. Lord, I need more of you. Living breath of life, come and fill me up." We really need it. Take this so serious this morning. Living breath of life, the Holy Spirit. Who gives living breath of life? The Holy Spirit. "Living breath of life, come and fill me up." David had a thirst in his life that only God could quench. He wanted the Lord more than anything else in life. We should want the Lord and more of Him more than anything else in life. If we could turn to Psalm 63, I'd like to read verses 1 to 8. Psalm 63 and verses 1 to 8. Psalm 63, beginning at verse 1. "O God, you are my God. earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My body longs for you in the dry and weary land where there is no water. I have seen you in the sanctuary and beheld your power and your glory. Because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live, and in your name I will lift up my hands. And you know, I just want to stop here and say, when we have our worship before the service, or as the service is beginning, it's just as much an important part of the service as any other part to worship the Lord. Feel free to lift your hands and worship him. I will pray, I will lift up your hands. I will praise you as long as I live, and in your name I will lift up my hands. My soul will be satisfied as with the richest of foods. With singing lips my mouth will praise you. On my bed I remember you. I think of you through the watches of the night. Because you are my help, I will sing in the shadow of your wings. My soul clings to you. Your right hand upholds me. We are familiar with David's heart for the Lord in Psalm 63. David sought after God earnestly. Are we seeking for the Lord earnestly? David spoke about the dry and weary land that represents a world that cannot satisfy. And some lines, I'm always impressed with this. There are some lines from the song, "Only Jesus Can Satisfy Your Soul." One line says, "You'll never find true satisfaction until you found the Lord." Another one says, "If you could have the fame and fortune, all the wealth you could obtain, yet you have not Christ within, your living here would be in vain." Yet you have not Christ within, your living here would be in vain. He knew, David knew, that there was no one like God in life, because he said that my soul clings to you. Are we clinging to the Lord or other things in life that cannot and never will satisfy? We should and need to cling to Christ. Now, we remember that there was a minister over here, evangelist, prophet, Brother Petrelli, a great man of God. He told the people, our congregation at the time, cling to Christ. You know who said the same thing? Mother Teresa. She told her nuns, cling to Christ. It's so important. And that's for us this morning. The Holy Spirit is telling us, cling to Christ. We should and need to cling to Christ. In Acts chapter 13, verse 22, the Lord himself testified of David's hunger, saying that he was a man after my own heart. Can the Lord say that about me, or any one of us, that we are a man or a woman after his heart? Let's turn to John chapter 20. I'm going to read, I was going to begin at verse 11, but we could turn to John chapter 20. Give you a moment to get there, then we'll start speaking about this chapter. Not the whole chapter, but important parts for this morning's message. Now, in these verses, we have a record of Peter, John, and Mary Magdalene at the tomb of Jesus. And this was early on Easter morning, but it's prominent at this time of year too. Early on Easter morning, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb where Jesus had been buried and saw that the rock had been rolled away. Peter and John saw the same thing. None of them understood that Jesus had risen from the dead. Peter and John saw and left. Mary, brokenhearted, would not leave. So let's begin at verse 11. We're going to read verses 11 to 16. And remember, as we said, Mary Magdalene would not leave. But Mary was standing outside the tomb weeping. And so as she wept, she stooped and looked into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had been lying. And they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there and did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Okay, so two angels asked Mary why she was crying. She said, "They have taken away my Lord." She didn't say the Lord. It was personal to her. "He's my Lord. Have taken away my Lord." Even the angels didn't satisfy her. Now, someone else may have been ecstatic. "I saw two angels." That wasn't enough for her. She wanted to see Jesus, and she did. Because when you seek the Lord with all your heart, you will find him. She was hungry for the Lord. Jesus rewarded her hunger and appeared and spoke to her. She became the first missionary as she brought the message that Jesus was alive and risen from the dead. There's another passage I'd like to read speaking about hunger for the Lord in Luke chapter 19, and we're going to read verses 1 to 6. Luke chapter 19, and we're going to read verses 1 to 6. This is about Zacchaeus. Now watch the effort he made to see Jesus. Luke chapter 19, verses 1 to 6. I'm going to read in the Amplified Version. "And Jesus entered Jericho, and passing through it, and there he saw a man named Zacchaeus, a chief tax collector, and he was rich. And he was trying to see Jesus, which one he was, but he could not on account of the crowd, because he was small in stature. So he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree in order to see him, for he was about to pass that way. And when Jesus reached the place, he looked up and said to him, 'Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today.' So he hurried and came down and received him and welcomed him joyfully." We know that Zacchaeus was hungry for the Lord because he climbed up in the tree just to see him. Zacchaeus made the effort of climbing a tree. What effort do we make in seeking the Lord? His hunger was so great that he not only climbed the tree, but also quickly came down when Jesus called him and received him joyfully. Now, many of you remember Brother Joe Grinnelli, a previous pastor over here. And I laugh and I remember, but he was so appropriate when he said it. He said, "Zacchaeus was so excited, it's a wonder he didn't fall out of the tree." You know, are we that excited about Jesus in our lives and to find more of him? And we could sit here and say, "Well, I know Jesus. I've been serving him for many years." How about getting more of him in your life? You could always get more. He's infinite. You could always get more of him. How excited are we about Jesus this morning? And Jesus purposely passed through Jericho. He knew that Zacchaeus was hungry for him. And Jesus knows that you are really hungry for him, and he will definitely respond to your hunger. But how does the Lord respond to a genuine hunger? Let's turn to Isaiah 55. Just read a few verses. I tried to limit the reading, but some of these verses are really important. So Isaiah 55, and we're going to read verses 1 to 3, and then 6. Isaiah 55, and we'll begin at verse 1. How does the Lord respond to a genuine hunger? Well, let's find out. Come, all who are thirsty, come to the water, and you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen, listen to me, and eat what is good, and your soul will delight in the richest of fare. Give ear and come to me, hear me, and your soul may live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, my faithful love promised to David. Verse 6, seek the Lord while he may be found, call upon him while he is near. The Lord was saying, come to me and I will satisfy your hunger and your thirst. And one way or another, people are going to look for satisfaction in life. The Lord is the only one who could truly satisfy. He knows how to quench your thirst. In Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 13, the Lord refers to himself as the fountain of living water. And he says living water because it never stops. Go up to a fountain, as long as you turn the handle, water's coming out. With the Lord, it just never stops. Turn the handle, and it keeps going and going forever. The Holy Spirit. When you're living in water, that's the Holy Spirit. Okay. Come to me. Jesus refers to himself as the fountain of living water. In Isaiah 55, the Lord is saying, I will take care of all those desires that you have in your life. I will fill you as no one else can, and there is no cost. Why are you turning to and seeking after those things that cannot satisfy? Whatever the world offers will not fill or satisfy you, never will. In these verses, the Lord is saying, come to me, and I will fill you. If things on earth could satisfy, why does a rich person always look for more riches or more money? Because things on earth don't satisfy. Only Jesus does. The Lord doesn't just fill. He fills to overflowing. See, he's so gracious. It's such a big harbor. He fills. He fills to overflowing. Who could contain him? He is a most generous Father. We give gifts to our children now, to our loved ones. But talk about gift giving. Like we spoke about spiritual gifts last week, talk about gift giving. God is the most generous giver you've ever known. The Lord has so much to offer. Do we really want to receive him? I'm going to read you. You don't have to turn to me. I'm going to read a couple of verses in Isaiah chapter 44 again. It shows how God gives. Isaiah chapter 44. And I'm going to read verses 1 to 3. Yet now hear, O Jacob, my servant, and Israel, whom I have chosen. Thus says the Lord that made you and formed you from the womb, which will help you. Fear not, O Jacob, my servant, and thou, Jeshurun, whom I have chosen. Here it comes. For I will pour water on him that is thirsty, living water. For I will pour water on him that is thirsty, and floods upon the dry ground. We said that God gives generously, a fountain that never runs dry. I will pour floods upon the dry ground. I will pour my spirit upon thy seed and my blessing upon your offspring. Now I could remember one night last August, a few months back, I was coming from my sister's apartment in Jersey City, and I was trying to get over here to the youth group, and we had quite a hefty thunderstorm over here. It rained and rained and rained, and torrential rain that at times was bad to see. And it was so bad, I was wondering, should I drive back to my sister's apartment But then if you're going to hit the same stuff, try to get the church to the youth group. And those who are familiar with the highway, 109, flooded. Get out to 3, got a little bit better, but still major flooding. Get to Route 21, flooding. I could not even get off the exit over here by Mill Street. Had to go down to the next exit, which is, if you're familiar, Grafton Avenue. You couldn't get off over there. Had to drive over the island to get around to a street that I could go up. Got up to the street, went up the hill to what's called Broadway, tried to make a turn onto Mill Street, couldn't do that. There were floods all over the place. Why am I mentioning this? This is what we want. Floods on the dry ground, in the spiritual sense. This is what we want. And this is one of the reasons why I keep inviting the police, the firemen, the town council. We invite our neighbors to get to know Jesus. Let them experience who he is and be filled with the Holy Spirit and experience the floods on the dry ground. And know when the Lord comes, it is floods on the dry ground. Those of us who have experienced it know there is nothing like it. So we want the floods on the dry ground. Only the Lord could quench a spiritual thirst. He didn't say he would give a couple of drops of water. He said floods upon the dry ground. We are praying to an almighty God. We want floods on the dry ground. When you are seriously hungering and thirsting for God, he will definitely respond. I could promise you that. Jeremiah 29:13, one of my favorite verses in the Bible. And you will seek me and find me when you will search for me with all your heart. Turn to one more reading, John chapter 7, and just verses 37 to 39. John chapter 7 and verses 37 to 39, and this is the last reading. John chapter 7, verse 37. Now on the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture said, from his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. Boy, isn't that the truth. But this he spoke of the Spirit, for those who believed in him were to receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified or crucified. The feast at which Jesus spoke was the Feast of Tabernacles, also called the Feast of Booths. The Feast of Tabernacles lasted 8 days. For 7 days, after gathering their crops, the people of Israel were to celebrate, rejoice in the feast of the Lord. On the 8th day, a custom called pouring of water took place. And during this custom, water was poured from gold vessels onto the altar in the temple. And with trumpets and ceremonies, this water was poured out before the Lord with expressions of joy. Why would Jesus say these words on the last day of this 8-day feast? Jesus was probably watching this celebration for 7 days, and maybe it was more like a big party. Then on the 8th day, the people would ceremoniously pour water onto the altar, waiting for the last day of the feast to deliver his message. Maybe Jesus was saying, now that you've celebrated and had a good time during this feast, do you see, do you understand that this feast, this celebration, these good times are not going to satisfy? In your ritual, you are pouring water, but I want to pour living water into your life. And it's what Jesus wants to do to us this morning. Those of us who haven't, who have not been baptized with the Holy Spirit yet, Jesus wants to pour his Spirit, living water, into you. Those of us who have been baptized, a refilling of the Holy Spirit. And when Jesus spoke of living water, he was referring to the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which we spoke about a couple of weeks ago. He was saying that only living water can satisfy. Jesus knew that the feasts, the parties, and all the good times that this world offers cannot bring true happiness and satisfaction. He was offering living water that fills, that satisfies, and quenches thirst. Water that comes from a fountain that will never run dry, a fountain that never quits flowing. Now, as I said before, you go and get a drink at a fountain. When you're done, you walk away, you take your hand off the handle, the water stops. The Lord, it never does. This morning we want to examine our lives and see what are we hungry for and what are we seeking in life. Are we going to be wise men and women and seek Jesus or more of him in our lives? We should ask the Lord to show us if we are hungering for and getting filled with things that are not from him, things that cannot satisfy and never will. Does our focus, our desires, have to be changed? Do our priorities need to be changed? Does the Lord or someone else or something else mean the most to us in life? Do we love Jesus so much that we always want more of him? During the last few weeks, we spoke about the Holy Spirit, who he is, his qualities, his works, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Those who are not yet baptized, are you going to be wise and seek the baptism of the Holy Spirit? And those of us who have been baptized, are we going to be wise and seek the refilling of the Holy Spirit? If we are serious about hungering and thirsting for the Lord, we should ask him to empty us of what does not belong in our lives. Ask the Lord to put a hunger and a thirst in our lives for him. God will definitely answer that prayer. This morning, we don't want the Lord to pass us by. We want to hunger and thirst for him and seek more of him with all our hearts and souls. We want to be wise men and women and tell Jesus, "Pass me not," as the hymn states. So we're going to get down to pray now. And if someone could lead us in a word of prayer to conclude the message, then we'll sing a last hymn.
Thank you. a human, Lord. But Lord, you also came as our Lord, our King, and our Father. So we pray this morning, Lord, that we would truly put you on the throne of our life, Lord, and that we would love you and seek you and serve you with all our heart and with all our mind. We thank you, Lord, for this love, Lord. And Lord, we continue to worship and to praise you for who you are, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for the season where we could truly set time aside, Lord, for you. But let us really set that time aside, Lord, to give glory and to worship you. So, Lord, this morning I pray that each and every one of us would truly have your light within us so that we would be a shining light in this world, not just with our lips, but with our actions and our deeds, Lord. And we thank you for being that perfect example, that perfect sacrifice, so that we might experience your love, Lord Jesus, and that we have the hope of eternity with you. Lord, we continue to praise you and worship you, Lord. We thank you for your word. We pray that you would increase the ministries of this church, Lord Jesus, and that, Lord, the giftings you have given each and every one of us, Lord, that we would truly use them for your honor and your glory. We ask all these things in your name. Amen.
Amen. We're going to conclude with hymn number 117, Joy to the World. Hymn number 117. And remember, after service, those who will be involved in some way in setting up or preparing whatever for the gathering next week, we just have a short meeting after church right up here. Tuesday night, we have prayer meeting over here. God is answering those prayers, so those of you who could come, you're really welcome to come. And next Sunday morning, we have our service here, and we will have that gathering also, our Christmas celebration. So keep that in mind. If you haven't yet put down your name, put it down so we know how many people are coming. It's very important because you have to know how much food to prepare. So we need to know how many are coming. If you haven't put your name down, please put your name down. And if you're going to bring something, let us know if you're going to bring something. And for the benediction, if we could have like Tanya, if you could give the benediction, please, after this last song. And we're going to conclude, Joy to the World. Receive her King, let every heart prepare in room. And heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing. Joy to the world, the Savior reigns. Let men their songs implore. Sins and sorrows grow, nor toil infest the ground. They come to man, his blessings flow. For as the curse is found, for as the curse is found, for as the curse is found. He rules the world with truth and grace, and make the nation true. The glories of his righteousness, and wonders of his love, and wonders of his love, and wonders of his love. Tanya? Amen. God bless you all. Be safe. God bless those of you online. Have a great
week. God bless
week.
You too, Jonathan, till we meet again.
Okay. Closing off now.
I'll hang around for a little bit.
Okay. Well, we'll take a little bit.
Okay.
We'll take that.